Welcome aboard. This is FrickFlex.
Yes, welcome aboard. My name is EJ Hewitt.
I'm Gabe Reed.
I'm part-time celebrity Seppa Kid, also guest starring.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for guest starring with us, Seppa Kid.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been really great. So, Gabe, what movie did we watch, at least recently?
We watched the train wreck called Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Which came out in 2007.
Yeah, 12 years ago. I remember 12 years ago.
Do you?
No. Like it was 12 years ago.
Like it was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the most interesting thing about the viewing experience is we watched it right after we had finished Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
I think
back to back.
So we watched, like, possibly the best Spider-Man movie besides Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm.
And then possibly the worst Spider-Man movie.
It was a contrast.
Yeah, it was a very special moment.
Yeah.
For all of us. Yeah.
Never want to do it again, but
it's not fun.
It's like hot tub to pool.
Yeah.
It hurts a little, and it's the worst, but we did it.
We did it. It was perfect. Yeah, what's the plot of the movie? Thank you for asking what the plot of the movie was. The plot of the movie is, it's about the fact that New York loves Spider-Man now, and Spider-Man's life is pretty awesome, which means that fate has stopped crushing him under its weight and has decided to just, like, leave him alone. Peter Parker's hooked up with MJ, as per the last movie, where she broke off an engagement to a very nice astronaut man to be with him.
He was better, whatever.
It's okay.
He was That's so sad.
Yeah.
MJ finally gets to be on Broadway. Peter is there because everything's really great for him right now. Harry is also there, and he looks really creepy.
Yep, he's still better.
And then one night when Peter and MJ are just hanging out on one of his spider webs, neither of them in costume, by the way, so if anyone walked by, I mean, they would definitely be compromised.
Yeah.
And they're in a park. Uh-oh, some magic space goo falls to the ground, like, right next to them. And it's, oh, we don't know yet. We don't know what it is.
How could they not notice? It's just like, boom.
I don't remember half of this. I remember the web. I don't know. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm learning.
Okay.
And then, so.
Hops on the back of their bike.
Well, hops on the back of the bike.
Yep.
Brings it back. There's a fugitive that's running. It turns out to be Flint Marko. And he's just trying to go see his daughter, who is sick right now.
Yep.
Peter wants to ask MJ to marry him. He's got a wedding ring with him.
Yep.
Aunt May is very supportive of this. But when Peter's going to go ask her to marry him, all of a sudden, Harry flies out of nowhere on the Green Goblin glider.
You knew this was coming, Pete!
You knew this was coming, Peter! It's just flies away, and there's a fight, kind of a fight scene, where Peter's trying to get the ring because the ring's knocked out of his hands.
Yeah. Sorry,
mate. The chair top just came off of Seppa Kid's amazing guest.
Yeah, some guest seat, guys.
We got budgets.
We have budget constraints. We spent all our money on getting you here. comes in. Peter loses the wedding ring. And then there's, like, a mad dash, they have to get it, and they fight through this alley, and it's just, like, the worst CGI in the world.
It was fine, and then it just got dramatically bad.
Okay,
out of nowhere.
Sorry about this, because the CGI for the alien was great. The goo. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like goo.
Yeah.
It does.
It's in the alleyway, and it looks like
trash.
Poo.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's such a contrast between, like, budget.
It looks like those that toy, you know, like with the stretchy arm guy. You remember that guy that has the stretchy arms?
That's the alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you meant the alleyway for a sec. I was like, what? I like imagine them just like throwing their sticky guys at each other. That's actually my favorite part of the movie.
That was my favorite part too. Yeah.
The sticky guy.
Yeah. The sticky guy. Was way more interesting than this. So Peter like loses him for a split second and then uses his web to like tripwire him, which apparently knocks Harry out so bad. And he loses his memory.
Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he literally, like, jeopardizes his friend's life. And it's done, like, in
He could have died.
Yeah. I mean, easy.
He probably
did.
Peter's like, oh, shoot.
You're sure? Whatever. This is my only friend, but whatever.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Flint Marko's running away from the law. He ends up jumping the fence into a particle facility. He ends up in a pit full of sand, which they're doing some sort of weird particle testing
on. Which they never check.
They never check anything.
Nope.
And then they're like, oh, is it fluctuation? Yeah, it's probably a bird. That's my favorite line, because it's like, well, maybe you should go, like, look. Because it's not like he's hiding in the sand that much.
He's just standing
in the middle in, like, his stripy shirt that's, like, comic book, so it's supposed to stand out.
It's late in the day, you know what I'm saying? They're tired. Yeah. They want to get out of there. They got the munchies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they do have the munchies. That was the greatest villain in Spider-Man
2. Also, the police don't call the facility the secret testing facility. They're just trying to, like, break through the fence, and it's like,
Everyone's just tired.
Everyone's really overdone. It's overdone. Harry's, like, really happy now because he's, you know, he's lost his memory and now he's, like, really peppy again. And he says, like, oh, it feels like I've been gone a long time. And it just means, like, it means that MJ and Peter have a reason to ignore him for the rest of the movie, not to get involved with him at all. Because
he's better now. Yep. He's good.
So, yeah. Well, MJ gets kicked off her Broadway musical thing.
Because she sucked.
She kind of sucked. Yeah. Peter tries to comfort her, but she just decides not to. Basically, what happens next is it's just like, okay, so now Peter's back in the my life sucks mode. I mean, his best friend is back, which is good, but his girlfriend is really mad at him, so he can't, like, you know, get her to find the proper time to pop the question, and... he ends up saving a photo shoot that's being attacked by, like, a crane.
Oh, yeah.
The crane goes out of control and it smashes through a building. And one of those people...
Oh, yeah, that's where Gwen is, right?
Yeah. And one of those people is Gwen Stacy, but, like, she's nothing like Gwen Stacy except for she looks like the comic book character. But she's not, like... Whatever. You see her in the opening where Peter's at high school, I mean college. He's now like in college. He looks like he should be out of college a long time.
Yeah.
But I think he's still supposed to be like maybe 19 in this universe.
19. I think I said it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that man is 19.
He's 25.
Yeah. Old, probably older.
Yeah.
I liked Gwen better than MJ though.
Oh, way better.
Yeah, she had barely a personality, but at least she was nice.
She was very nice.
She was nice, yeah.
I still look at
too. So,
eyebrows. Yeah. I like eyebrows.
That's important.
She almost dies. Eddie Brock is on the street. Eddie Brock being the other reporter for the Bugle, except he isn't in this universe. He's trying to get a job at the Bugle.
Cocky guy.
Yeah, he says to Gwen's dad, who is a police officer, that he's dating his daughter, which turns out not to be true, like, really quickly after, but, like, the movie allows you to think that they're dating for, like, quite a while.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I thought.
Like, at least 15 to 20 minutes. And then they're like, no, they're not. Like, he's just stalking her. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like, I don't know why the movie decided to frame it like
this. Yeah, I don't know either.
Whatever. JJ's back to the picture. He is, like... There's a really funny scene where, like, he has all the pills on his desk because he's trying the stress relief. And Betty, his assistant, Betty Brandt, is, like, tormenting him with a buzzer for his high-rise picture. Eddie comes in and immediately is like, I have pictures of Spider-Man, and I want to join the team. And he's, like, you know, really confident and stuff and flattering JJ. And Peter's like, why does Eddie get offered a job if I'm just a freelancer and I've been here forever? So JJ decides to put a contest on tells both of them to get a photo of Spider-Man doing something wrong, and then he'll give them the permanent position.
Yep.
And then Harry actually comes back into the picture, and he's like, I don't remember anything. And they play around with a basketball in his house.
Sweet moment of the movie.
He discovers that he's rich, like, he didn't remember that.
He's like, hey, I got this mansion, by the way. It's, I got a butler up there, and,
Bertrand.
He's kind of the worst.
He's the best and the worst.
He is the best and the worst.
He's got a creepy picture of his dad.
Oh, yeah, just hanging in the living room.
Do you remember?
And then he just awkwardly stares at it. He's like, that's my dad.
And
Peter's like, oh.
And he's like, Harry, don't remember. You'll remember that you want to kill me.
Don't they go to dinner next, right?
No. First, MJ gets replaced at her job.
Oh, yeah.
So she goes into... to do her part, because there was a bad review of her in the paper. and she was really upset. And then she ends up going to her rehearsal because Peter's like, it's great, they'll still love you and stuff like that. And she goes in, and then she finds out that they're literally hiring actresses because she didn't get like a call that said that she was fired, and it's really awkward. And then she walks out on the street, and everyone's like clapping, and she's like, oh, and then then Spider-Man swings by, and she realizes that they're clapping for Spidey, and then she hates Peter.
Yeah, which is dumb. Like, why would you think it's for you?
Like, no, she's
that makes no sense. Like, that's like hearing a concert like miles away and being like, that's probably for me.
Yeah. So Peter tries to comfort her, and she just kind of pushes him away. Sandman is being chased around by the cops still, but now he's Sandman.
Yep.
And when the cops are chasing him, he ends up hiding in a conveniently located sand truck. And then they're like, where he go? And they open up the sand truck, and there's nobody there. And you're like, in what universe does this happen? I mean, I understand that, like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man universe isn't supposed to be, like, really our universe, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, like, in this movie, it's just dumb. Like, in the last movie, when comic booky things would happen, like the overly huge safe and stuff like that, was charming. In this, it's just like, come on, are you for real? Sand, like, come on.
Sand truck.
And then he attacks. He doesn't even hide that long. He just comes out and attacks the cops with sand. Yeah. Like, now he just has more sand.
I just love how he travels. He's just like this, like, tornado of sand everywhere. Yes. It's like, woo!
But still, nothing to do with Spider-Man yet.
No.
Meanwhile, MJ goes to see Harry because they're a thing now. Because
she's lonely and desperate and a loser.
Yeah. He's going so savage on her quickly.
Sorry. I haven't even begun yet.
She's
all
lonely, desperate, and a loser.
Anyway.
She finds out that Harry wrote her a play in high school. Do you remember this? We wanted you to play all the parts.
Which was sweet. I like Harry.
Harry's pretty good.
They cook dinner.
I don't think they cook dinner yet. Yeah, that's later. But they do end up becoming a lot closer over the thing. And it ends up with them cooking dinner, MJ reading Harry's play. Harry actually, MJ tells Harry that she's been fired, which she doesn't say to Peter at all, which is like, whatever. Meanwhile, Sandman robs a truck. Sandman truck robbery.
Yep.
He's there. He's trying to get money for a sick kid, but like, he's also a little crazy now because of the whole sand being sand thing. I guess they don't really go into his, like, how much of him is still him and how much of him isn't him.
Yeah.
They really just keep him on this, like, it's like every single time he's on screen, he's just doing something that does not relate to the plot.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
They set up a really nice plot for him with, like, his daughter. And they're like, oh, he really cares about her, and he screwed up, and now he wants to make it right because she's sick, and he needs to get money for her to be well. And then the rest of the movie is just like, who cares about Sandman? And then we'll get to the worst part.
Yeah.
But yes, then we have the dinner between MJ and Peter. Bruce Campbell again makes an appearance to just ruin Peter's life at a French restaurant. I don't know how Peter afforded this place, but who cares?
I don't again.
MJ does not tell Peter that she's off Broadway. So he's like, still like, you're doing really great out there, MJ.
It's awkward.
Like my Tommy McGuire impression.
You're doing really great, MJ. I see on Broadway. I'm Spider-Man.
I'm Spider-Man.
But it doesn't matter. I love you.
Oh, God.
Very.
So MJ is, like, jealous of Peter's fame.
Yeah.
And then Gwen Stacy comes in and is like, oh, hi, Peter, I'm in your class. And then she's even more jealous of Gwen Stacy.
No reason. Gwen is just like, hey,
I'm a girl and I know you. And she's like, how dare you be a girl and know Peter? Like, okay, cool.
She loses.
She's just having a bad time. And if she, like, explained herself, like, that would be something. Like, hey, I'm not doing well because I got fired and it sucks and I don't know how I'm going to live, you know, now. Like, my dream was given to me and then it was taken away.
She just expects Peter to know.
Yeah, and she's so angry because Peter's all high on life right now.
Yeah.
He got his best friend back. He's with his favorite girl. You know, he has
Didn't he
friends.
Kiss Gwen, though? Is this... That's why this whole Shapeel started?
No, not yet.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At the show.
At the show.
Yes.
Yes.
Where Peter's doing his weird, like, jumpy dance to the drums.
See, I was wondering what this was. I wrote Spidey Day exclamation
yes.
point and Peter awkward dancing, and I couldn't for the life of me.
He's pretending to play the drums. He's like, oh.
What
if close
spell?
Is there a...
Yeah, because he saved Gwen, and her dad's, like, the chief of police.
Kiss him!
Yeah, they like shout, kiss him during Spidey Day. And then
there's the kid in the crowd who's like, don't do it, Spider-Man. What was that?
Dude, I don't know. What does he know?
I don't know.
He knows too much?
He was the villain of Spider-Man 4.
Yeah. Ooh, he was the kid that was walking by when they were sitting on the, you know, like the webbing out in the night. He was like, oh.
Oh. He knows everything. He's like a small watcher.
Anyway, that's why MJ's super mad.
Yes, that's why she's even more mad. Because she's like, oh, he knows Gwen. And they got to do the kiss. That's my kiss. That was my kiss.
Oh, dude, yeah.
It was all about that.
Dumbest logic ever. It's mine.
Upside down kiss.
She copyrighted.
Yeah, she did. And she's like, you shouldn't have done that kiss. And Peter's like, the crowd was chanting and they don't know it's me. I feel like my Tobey Maguire impression just gets worse. Every time I do it,
he's
it
like,
gets worse.
He's like a baby. It's like, the crowd was chanting. It was me.
MJ.
MJ, don't do this to me, MJ. It's just a joke.
So, Peter's already told Bruce Campbell to come in with champagne and the ring. And
yes.
This is the best
and sing
part
a song.
Of the movie. Yeah, and sing a song. Play, like, their song. And so Peter keeps on making these motions that causes him and, like, the entire staff to come in and then go out and then come in and then go out. And
yep.
It's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in right as MJ, like, storms off.
Dude,
and
leaves.
So Peter has to, like, fish out the ring from the champagne glass, and it's really sad.
Sad moment. Sad moment.
I was happy when that happened.
Yeah, it's true. Because I wanted him to go straight to Gwen and be like...
Me too. I wanted that scene so bad for him to be like, hey, can we go out instead?
Seriously.
Please.
I just wanted MJ to just, like, fade in the distance after that
same.
Scene.
Yeah, she doesn't even pick up the phone. Peter tries to call her. Oh, and then Peter gets a call from the police saying that, surprise retcon, it was Sandman, Flint Marko, who killed his uncle.
That was so dumb.
Oh, that was one of the worst parts.
It was just the worst.
And then he gets angry.
Yeah, he gets really mad, and he's like, he does that weird little shaky thing.
Yeah, but he's not looking anywhere. His eyes are like sideways.
Yeah.
My uncle's killer is still out there.
And then he's like, I have to kill him, even though I learned that in the first movie, which was actually really well done. And now I have to learn it again for some reason.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh, that goo that was on the back of his scooter before, it creeps out and it's a black suit. And all of a sudden he's up on a building. And
oh, that
like,
was a cool part.
Oh, I am so cool now.
Which he basically does the same thing that he did in his red suit, but I guess now he feels like more steroidy. I don't know.
It's black, so.
It's black. It's,
yeah.
Well, all right. Can we chill out? I mean, I know you're our guest,
it's
but
cooler.
Like, we need to just chill for a second.
you do it, but black, and it's cooler.
Okay, well, moving on.
It's true.
He takes it to his professor, Dr. Connors, who looks at the sample, and he's just like, what? Which, I mean, I don't know how Peter, like, peeled off a sample of the black suit and isolated it.
I don't know.
But he did at some point.
My
it's really small, and it's, like, banging against the glass.
Sorry, my favorite line before that is when he takes off his mask and
yeah.
the black suit, he's like, this is something else. It's like, oh. No way, Peter.
Peter, please put it back on him.
Oh. All right, this is when the movie gets really good, though.
Yeah. So Dr. Connors immediately is like, it's symbiotic and it's attached to you and be careful. And you're like,
I love it. He's like, make sure none of that stuff gets on you.
Yeah, exactly. Cause if it binds to you, I don't know what happens. And I'm like, why do you know this? They don't explain that. He just knows this stuff, man.
And then leaves it with Peter still.
Yeah. Well, no, he takes the little sample with him. He's just like, if you found more, like, don't touch
it.
Oh,
Peter lies. You're
yeah,
right.
He does.
You're right.
He doesn't say he's wearing it,
you're
even
right.
though he totally is.
You're right.
And then Peter, well, Eddie comes up and he's trying to take a picture of Spider-Man, and Peter just like smashes his camera and he's like, see ya, chump.
See ya, chump. And then sticks his booty out and then falls down
yeah.
into the grate.
No, it's so good. So he's
really
tracking
funny.
Down Sandman and
yep.
they fight in the subway.
Which
Sandman,
is a really cool scene.
It's really, it's pretty good. Like, I have to admit. Except for Peter's like, you killed my uncle! You know, kind of a thing.
What does it mean to you anyway?
Everything! Everything! And he finds out that Sandman can't form when mud, so he splashes, like, he gets him in a ton of water, like, just, like, rips off things, right? Because doesn't he, like, redirect the pipe? So
I love this scene where he just gets closer to his face.
Yeah.
Like, dung, dung, dung.
Oh, that one's funny. I don't know what that was supposed to be, though.
I know. It's dramatic.
I guess.
So it's he comical. Just... He, like, literally, like, thinks he kills Marco. Nice. And then he's like, good riddance. Like, with the voice.
And then he... Then the next scene, he's going through the alleyway and he sees a little mirror and he just decides to go... Flick his hair down in front of his face.
And he's just like, instead of having it combed back as usually, like, pulls it in front of his face so he can do like...
Emo is taking over my body.
It's really short.
It is.
So it's hardly even bang length.
No, it's not. It's like, goes to his eyebrow.
Yeah, it's not good. They should have given him longer hair if they wanted him to have an emo cut. Yeah, like, had him grow out his hair just like a little bit.
That would have been tight.
It's so bad though. He actually tells Aunt May that Marco is dead. Because he's so proud of himself for killing him. And then Aunt May's like, what are you talking about, Peter? And Peter's like, I thought you'd be happy.
I thought you would love me more.
I thought that was the weirdest scene in the movie.
It was really out of character for Peter.
Well, I guess that was the point.
Yeah, but it's still really like...
But it was like, that's too much of a change.
It's too quick, too fast.
It was the next scene after he changes his hair, basically.
Yeah.
It was like, what?
Oh, and then that's when MJ, who's now, like, working as a waitress/singer, calls Harry. And Harry's, like, painting in his house. And he's just, like, the sweetest person ever. Mm. And that's when they have the omelet cooking session.
Oh, that's when it happens. Yeah,
and they're all hanging out together, and it's really
they,
cute.
Like, basically fall in love.
They do. Mm.
Which sucks, because then you're like, Harry, find a better woman.
Yeah, that's true. But... Then you also have the amazing scene where Peter's landlord's daughter, Ursula, and him are, like, hanging out with the cookies.
Yeah.
That relationship, hardcore ship.
Oh, yeah.
It is so cute watching them together. It's like,
so she looked at him and she was like, you know, he was like, I like the ones with the nuts. And she's like, I can have more. And he's like, yeah, go on
yeah,
more.
Yeah, go on more.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
He's just eating it. He's like... It's really good.
Yeah, I love the first... Sorry, let's go back to the second movie, but the scene where, like, you see her for the first time, and he's, like, and his landlord's, like, berating him, like, there would be more, you know, fat on my daughter if you actually paid us rent. And it's just her, and she's, like, this really cute girl, and she's holding, like, a frying pan, and she's just like, hi, Peter. And then she, like, panics and throws the frying pan, and it sets the stove on fire. The best scene. And I'm like,
so
can these two please get together?
They're perfect.
They're so perfect. The more you watch Peter and MJ, you just realize the relationship is just toxic.
Oh, it's so toxic.
They need to just be together.
They need to be gone. Oh, gosh. So, Ursula's there because she gets a call from MJ saying that MJ's broken up with Peter, which is good. Because she likes Harry now. I mean, probably. Also, Harry, in the meanwhile, sad day for him. He takes literally one drink and then hears his dad and sees his dad in the mirror, and his dad's like...
His dad directs him to the Green Goblin, like, palace.
Lair.
Palace.
Yeah. Lair. Yeah. The palace.
In the far hills of Mongolia. Green Goblin Palace.
And then he takes his steroid goo inhaler stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, that does mean you get evil Harry, who is hilarious.
Oh, he's so savage.
His first thing is to literally go to Peter and be like, hey, you know, MJ told me that she got fired, but she didn't tell you, did she? And just, like, basically slays Peter.
And he's like, by the way, you know, she's moving on to a new person. And that person is me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then there's the scene where he's on the date, and Peter's watching him, and he looks back, and he gives him that big old smile, and then the bus runs in front, and then he's gone.
He's gone. He gives a wink, and he's gone.
And you're like, he's under that table, because the other guy in the back of the shot literally is, like, looking at him during that scene. It's like that part in Batman where they're trying to get rid of the bat shield.
Yes.
And they put him on, and the bartender watches it fall to the ground.
Yes.
It's like, it's so good. It's like, but I think that's so in character for Harry. Like, for most of the time, we're the audience are supposed to believe that they can just disappear, I guess, which only works with Batman or people who can actually teleport. But with that, that's so in character for Harry to scramble under the table just to mess with Peter.
Yep. Iconic scene. Iconic.
Oh, so then, Harry and Peter fight, and it's such a terrible fight. Again, it's, like, way too CGI'd. And then all that happens
Do they fight? No. Don't they, Mary Jane and Peter have that little talk on the bridge because Harry like threatens.
Harry orchestrates a talk.
Yeah, that's true. Harry does orchestrate.
He makes MJ tell Peter that they can't be
peonies.
Peonies.
And he's like, I brought the ring, and she's like, it doesn't matter. I don't love you anymore.
I don't love you anymore. Cause and you're like, freaking MJ, just tell him like that. Cause Harry's there, but like. You're with Spider-Man, and he's like Spider-Man. Like, if you cared about him, but I feel like Harry eggs her on because he's like, give the best performance of your life. Like, prove you're an actress. And I'm like, I hate everything, except for Harry, who's incredible.
Yeah. Harry is incredible.
Yeah, but you kind of feel torn because Peter's crying, but then you realize it's probably for the best.
It's for the best.
It's so good. That scene was my favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Because he left her.
I was like, I won't get to that part, but keep going.
Yes. So, Harry and Peter fight.
Yep.
But then, just Harry gets a bomb, pumpkin bomb exploded on his face. Because Peter's evil now, right?
Like, which was cool. Which was cool. Because he flung his web out, grabbed it, and then
threw it into... But then, like, Harry's just defeated for the rest of the movie.
He's dead.
Like, and he's the coolest villain in this. Like, I love him.
He's gone for the next 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and it's like the rest of the movie, I'm just like, well, I'm not that invested. Except for... Now that Peter's evil, he's hilarious. Eddie Brock gets a compromising photo of Spider-Man, but Peter's like, that's a fake. And he...
Somehow.
He gets Eddie Brock, like, fired, basically.
Yeah.
And because JJ doesn't want fake photos, which I think is really admirable of him, because he does come across as being quite overbearing most of the time.
Yeah, it's true. He does have limits.
Connors calls Peter and he's like, hey, you didn't touch any more of that stuff, did you? Besides, it amplifies aspects of the host, like, especially aggression. So, like, be careful.
Yep.
Peter is, like, way over the line now and, like, he's hitting on Betty and, like, being really weird to JJ. And JJ's like, I don't even know how to deal with you
His face anymore. Is like, what?
He then ends up taking Gwen... out to go to where Mary Jane is. After you get that amazing scene where he's walking down the street and he's doing
the iconic dance number.
It's so good.
Everybody knows that one.
It's amazing. Like, that scene is incredible in of itself. So he takes Gwen to go make MJ jealous, but he's like acting all smooth and stuff. And he gets him into the club by using lingo such as fine, babe, and pops. And asking one of the waiters to find us some shade.
Find us some shade.
He's such a, like, a 20.
He does. And you can tell by the look on her face, she's just like, I don't know why. Like, who taught him this? Did he read the Archie comics growing up? Was this where he got his cool lingo?
I don't know.
It's really weird. So, the minute that MJ goes up to sing... Peter comes up and he's like, he starts playing piano, which is a skill that I've never seen him have.
He can't. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But somebody does. And MJ's just looking at him like, he's crazy.
I would love to think it's one of those automatic pianos. They just play on its own.
And he gets up and he's like, do the no dig on this.
Now dig on this. And then he just starts snapping his fingers.
It's like a close-up of his, like, really weird lips.
It's so close.
I never wanted to get that close to Tobey Maguire's lips. No. It's really disturbing.
It's really bad.
And he just, like, this little snap.
And then everybody loves him in the club.
He starts doing the dance. Yeah, everyone loves it. And he, like, kicks over, like, a chair and, like...
And then the wind blows.
Yeah, and it's like...
Whoosh.
Yeah. And he, like, dances with Gwen. And then Gwen immediately realizes that, like, oh, he's not doing this for me. He's doing this to get back at her.
Because...
She's the best character in the movie.
She's not.
By not being a character.
Sweet Harry is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's second, though.
Yeah.
She is second.
Because she's actually, like, loyal. You know what
I'm
saying?
She's loyal and she's smart.
And she's so... upset, and like she's basically she apologizes to MJ and runs away and tells Peter, like, I can't believe you did this. And then people start kick Peter out, like they grab his arms and stuff, and he starts like going wildly. And then MJ is like runs up to him, and she's like, Peter, and he slaps her. And I'm just like,
we're all kind of like, you deserve that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is cruel, and I normally wouldn't condone this, but like...
But like you at all.
Yeah, at bottom of everyone. You're so selfish. You never listen to anybody. No. And you're always out for your own gain. And then she falls down and she looks up. She goes, who are you? And he's like...
Peter just scrambles towards his shirt. He's like...
Yeah, he's like, I don't know anymore.
I'm wearing a medium.
So at this point, Peter and Eddie Brock, who just got kicked out of a job, decide to become very religious and go to a church, which is something that comes out of nowhere.
No, it does, because he's like, if you want forgiveness, get religion.
Oh, that's true. Peter does tell Eddie Brock to go get religion, yeah, which is one of the funnier lines in the entire production.
And then he goes and does it.
He does. He goes and gets it. But why does Peter go there? Because he's also trying to get religion.
I guess. He's trying to figure it out.
It's really funny. So, Eddie goes to church and asks Jesus for Peter's death.
That's not going to happen. Trust me.
It is what happens. He prays to God for Peter to die.
I know, but I don't think Jesus is going to be like, yeah, sure.
Well, that's what I mean. He asked Jesus for Peter's death.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't mean it happens. It just is what happens.
That's what he does. He's like, please kill Peter.
Please kill Peter for me. And Peter, meanwhile, is up at the roof, and he realizes that the suit is, like...
really bad.
Well, it's against... he hates it already, but, like, it seems to react to the sound of the church bells. Like, mm-hmm.
He's trying to rip it off, you
know?
Yeah,
so he's using the bell. He's hitting it, and Eddie hears Peter screaming, and he, like, goes to see, because he thinks that Jesus has granted his request to kill Peter.
It was just funny, because, you know, like, when you just got done with the workout, and your shirt is, like, really tight, and it's sweaty, you're trying to pull it off. That's basically what that scene is like. And then, okay, mind you, he's looking up, the church, like, whatever, the ceiling up there, right? Yeah. And somehow he realizes that's Peter. He's like,
yeah, he's like, Parker. I would know that scream anywhere. Yeah, he's Parker.
How does he know? It's so high up there. That never explained. Anyway, he pulls it off. The goo starts falling down on Eddie. And Eddie tries to flick it off. And then more goo gets on him. And then he starts inhaling the goo.
Well, it just gets on him. It just is him.
It is him. And then he smiles. He's like, and then he zooms in. And all of a sudden, he's Venom.
He's Venom.
Which is crazy. Yep. Anyway.
So Peter goes home and he showers and he stares at walls.
Yeah, that's important though.
Because even though we see multiple times he does have a TV in his room, he will never use it.
No, he just stares at walls.
That's all he ever does.
That's what he does.
It's the end of Spider-Man 2. It's like most of Spider-Man 1.
I broke a plate.
Wow.
That's
a guest move right there. That's a special guest move.
I'm familiar with the house, so.
Which way is this way?
Which way is the non-plate breaking?
Which way is the floor? I'm not trying to break this plate, but I'm also trying to throw it.
To not the floor.
Okay.
Peter talks to them, Aunt May, and Aunt May totally ships Peter and MJ, which is stupid, but that doesn't actually matter. Venom, who is Eddie Brock, who's now turned into Venom, goes and meets Sandman, who's like, I've seen a lot, but this is way too much. Like, in the entire scene, his face is just like, please no.
Yep.
They decide to capture MJ again, which is every climax of every one of these movies. And it was, like, fine in the first movie. It was done really well in the second movie.
Yep.
And in this movie, you're just like, please stop.
Just please ever die.
Harry gets called in, even though he, like, nearly died. And he's like, look, I really need to talk to you about Spider-Man and, you know, the whatever. Because he got his face rolled off, and his butler finally comes up to him and is like, hey, it was it Spider-Man who killed you?
The blade that pierced your father's heart was his own doing.
It was his own glider.
And then you look at Harry's face, he's like, what?
What?
He's like, why?
Why now?
Why did you tell me now?
I
cleaned his wounds. It's like... bro, you're an idiot.
Peter literally comes in for like a split second and is like, we have to go save MJ. And Harry's like, I really need to talk. And then Peter just looks at me and he's like, there are bigger things, Harry. And that's when Bertrand comes in and tells him about the glider thing. Like, Peter can't spare in any of these movies since the first one, since the second or the third, to tell his best friend and only best friend in the entire world that he didn't kill his dad.
Does that come in the second movie or the third movie?
No, it comes in the second movie as well. Because he gets Doc Ock to bring Spider-Man to him, and he lifts off the mask, and it's Peter. And then Harry's like, Peter!
Oh.
And then Peter's like, sorry, Harry, I gotta go! And he never thought in the entire time to go back and be like, hey, let me explain what happened to your dad. Like, at least have a scene where he explains it to Harry, and Harry's like, no, I don't believe you. I think you actually did kill him.
Yeah.
That wouldn't make more sense, but the fact that Peter, like, willfully never speaks to Harry about this, never even tries to tell him, is almost as bad as, should I tell this man that his wife is dead, or should I kill him?
Yeah.
Like, it's just absurd situation. Yeah.
Anyway, Harry knows now.
Harry knows now. Whatever. There's an ending fight scene. There's too much CGI.
Boring.
It's so boring.
Spider-Man gets hit in the chest a thousand times, and this British lady's like, this is so hard to watch.
JJ gets ripped off by an entrepreneurial child.
Which is funny.
Who sells him a camera but doesn't sell him film. Or, like, makes him pay for
that
film.
That costs extra.
That costs extra. That's a really good scene.
Yep.
Basically, all my notes say in this is just bored, Eddie, why should I care, and bad CG.
Eddie's lines are pretty great, though.
Eddie is amazing, so Eddie's totally gay for Peter.
Yes.
He was straight up until this point, and now he's really gay for Peter.
Harry, you have to take the suit off. Oh, no, not Harry, sorry. Eddie, you have to take the suit off. He's like, oh, you would
like that, wouldn't you?
Sandman
is, like, huge now. Like, he became massive.
He just found a bunch of sand.
So
he went to the
boring.
Beach for a day. Found a bunch of sand.
There's, like, so Harry shows up and he's a good guy and he's awesome. And he's the only interesting part of this.
Throws firebombs.
Immediately dies. He dies saving what? MJ or Peter? I don't remember.
He dies saving Peter.
I hate Peter. By this point, I've moved from, like, I like Peter enough and I hate MJ to just, like, please just kill them both. Like,
no, they're
with them.
Just so bad.
And then they refuse. Harry's dying. He's not dead. They refuse to take him to the hospital because they have to talk to Sandman about Uncle Ben's death. So the sun's coming up and Sandman is like, oh, yeah,
no,
it was a gun misfire.
Wait, you forgot. Venom gets destroyed because Peter puts those...
The pipes around him.
Pipes.
And it's the worst CGI I've ever seen.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's like worse than Jar Jar Binks.
It's so bad. And then Peter's
like clang! He's CGI. The pipes are CGI. It just looks horrid. And he's like doing like flippy things. It looks like Catwoman.
It's Catwoman level. And then he throws the bomb because Eddie gets pulled out of there.
Yeah.
By Peter, and then Peter throws a bomb, one of the pumpkin bombs, and then Eddie just was like, "No, I need the suit really bad," and then he explodes and he dies.
And he dies. He dies with Venom.
That's the end.
It's really dumb. I didn't feel like there was much of an arc there.
No.
No. Yeah, but Uncle Ben apparently was shot.
On accident,
which is so stupid. Like, I don't even want to... I'll get into how stupid it is later. But basically, Flint Marko had a partner, and Flint Marko was in charge of getting the getaway vehicle, and Uncle Ben was in the car, and he just has his gun cocked and ready, because of course, and he's like, get out of the car, and Uncle Ben's like, hey man, you really should think about what you're doing. And then the partner's like, Flint, we gotta go! And, like, grabs his arm, and it shoots the gun, and Uncle Ben dies, and it is the stupidest thing. And then Spider-Man's like, I guess since it was an accident, I forgive you. But, like, he doesn't learn anything, because all he learns is that if there's an accident, then you should forgive somebody, but not if it's on purpose. Like,
it's
ridiculous.
It feels weird.
The entire time, MJ's holding Harry in her arms, and he's dying, and Spider-Man could get him to the hospital, like the game Spider-Man 2. He could just web him up and get him to the hospital, but he does not, and Harry dies, and then I'm done. And then MJ and Peter can be toxic forever. They're toxic. They go to Harry's funeral. Because all of these have to have a funeral in it.
Every movie does.
Every movie has a funeral in it. That's the other trope. And they're just like...
Wait, the second one does not.
Does it not?
No.
Do they go to Rosa's funeral or Rosie?
Who's Rosie?
That's Doc Ock's wife. They don't go to her funeral.
You killed Rosie.
Not prepared to die.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. It was painful after you go from the second movie, which
second movie's great.
So good. And then this movie just
killed Rocky.
No, it was good. I'm making jokes, but I loved it. Great game too.
Spider-Man 2 game. So good.
That's off topic though.
Shout out.
Can I talk about what I liked about this movie?
Go ahead.
Danny Elfman.
He's so great in this movie.
He's so good.
I really loved his character.
Yeah, his character of not being in it. Superman. He puts such an amazing soundtrack to it. They had a recap at the credits. That was really cool. They do that in every movie, but they did it in this movie too, and that was really awesome. Yeah, where they show like scenes of previous movies to the opening credits, and so you get a recap. It's so good. Like, I think that's very smart.
So good.
Harry's
great.
Harry's great. Evil or good. James Franco puts 110% into that character.
He did.
He's so funny.
He was done being shafted. He's like, this is my movie.
And he still is shafted by the script. Don't get me wrong. The script hates him.
Yes.
But he knows that the script hates him. So he's like in it to win it. And it is so fun to watch him. And it, like, any scene with him in, he's, like, way over the top. Like, he's either over the top evil or over the top adorable, and it doesn't matter. It's so fun to watch him. But beyond that, I would say that's about what I found that was good.
The dinner scene.
The dinner? Which dinner?
The,
right, where, like, Peter keeps, like, yeah, accidentally motioning him. That's really
funny. That's good. I actually enjoy that. And then Mary Jane just puts a fat one on it, and it just ruins it.
I just can't with her.
It's worse.
The worst part about it is
she never learns anything.
She never learns anything throughout the movie. She's just always in the right. I guess you could say she kind of like learns to wait on her dreams because she goes to being a singer waitress. And that's okay because she's still doing that at the end.
Right.
But you never get to see any transformation, and they never seem to say like, hey, you know, you're kind of selfish and maybe you should stop.
Right.
Because like, Peter is always like trying to compare, like when she has the critics that are criticizing her role, she is so super upset, and Peter's like, hey, people criticize me when I was Spider-Man all the time until recently, and she's like, it's not the same thing, and you're
it's
just
not
like,
about you,
it's like, wow, it's really me. Like, he had to live with that for a long time, and like, the least you could do is just be like, well, it's just hard. But instead she pulls it on like, oh, my dad was abusive, which is like, that sucks. Yeah. But there's a point where, like, they either had to make that more a part of her character, was the fact that she couldn't move past the fact that, like, she was abused, or less a part of her character.
That was
like,
just thrown out there.
It's just thrown out there because she feels defensive. Like, it doesn't come from any place of
genuineness.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't tell Peter anything and then gets mad at him for not knowing stuff. And it's so frustrating to watch her. Yeah. It's just bad.
It's just her show, and it doesn't feel right because they don't portray it as her having issues.
No,
it's just like, Peter, get your act together, and you're just like, what?
They're like, Peter, this is all your fault, and you're like, how is it Peter's fault?
What do you think of Flint Marko's character?
Flint Marko's character is so, it's so boring.
Like, he just comes in and out like so much throughout
so much
the movie.
Throughout the movie,
you know what I mean?
And honestly, what was needed in this film was like him to be more tied to his daughter and his family, because they set up this backstory and he's got like the one thing he has is this this locket that for some odd reason doesn't turn to sand even though everything else does.
Yeah, but he
leaves the locket behind when he goes away, and it's basically him just being like, well, I can't live that life, but it's really stupid because it doesn't feel earned. But like, the locket is about something his daughter gave him. And there's a really cute scene where he shows up at his daughter's house and gives her the letters that the prison wouldn't let him send. And it's quite sweet. Like, I like that. I thought that was really good.
Yeah. So, that I thought that was really cool. But they never go back to that. He's like, he's only there for fight scenes. Yeah. And then he's at the end. And that's all you learn about him. And it's just kind of frustrating because he's supposed to be your sympathetic character. And he's not, you know.
Well, they play his opening like they're gonna do it, like with like Doc Ock and like the, you know, even to a certain extent Green Goblin, and it's like, okay, well, this person's crazy, but we're gonna put some humanity into him just to kind of like make it so that you don't like completely write him off. And then they spend the rest of the movie writing him off, And I really don't understand, like, why they retconned it so that he accidentally killed Uncle Ben. At least go all the way and have him actually kill Uncle Ben.
Yeah, because that's actually, like, good forgiveness to actually forgive somebody to actually kill them. He's like, hey, man, you actually have no reason to ask for you know, to want forgiveness, because I didn't kill him. It was on accident.
I want to believe that he's lying.
Oh, that would be way better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I was going to rate this movie, completely take out that retcon.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the Joe Chill in Batman. Like, Batman's parents were canonically killed by Joe Chill, who is literally a nobody who's, like, in prison. Like, he just gets caught, and that's it. And that's cool.
What did you think about the Batman movie where Joker was Joe Chill, though?
I thought that was okay because they kept it, you know, I'll be honest, like, that's my least favorite part of that movie.
Yeah.
Because I really love the fact that Batman can never actually take revenge on the person who murdered his parents.
Yeah.
Like, that aspect of it, which is also present in Spider-Man with the fact that, like, the guy wasn't. Like, he was just, like, this dude. And Spider-Man actually does kind of take revenge on that guy.
He kills
him. He kills him. In the movie, he kills him.
Yeah.
Yeah. but in the comics, like, he can't. Like, he sees him there, and he freezes, and he's like, you're just a dude. Like, you didn't... You had a moment where you made a mistake, and, like, you're as scared as, you know, my uncle was, and it sucks because I want to hate you, but I can't, because you are malicious, but you're not evil enough for me to take your life.
Yeah.
And it's such a good and very powerful scene where he realizes this, and it really, like, it kneecaps that idea of, like, well, you know, revenge is taking someone out of the world that, you know, because revenge can't bring people back, but in a way, revenge is taking somebody out of the world that could harm somebody else, or, like, is just bad for the world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's harder to justify that if it's just some guy, you know, as opposed to, like, a maniacal supervillain who will kill again.
Right.
And that's the reason why I wasn't a huge fan of the Batman 89 choice of making Joker Joe Chill. I like Joe Chill being Joe Chill.
Yeah.
Like, just this random guy who is, like, either paid, like, he could be paid to do it, or he could just have done it by accident, like, botched robbery type thing. Either way is fine. As long as he's not the ultimate mastermind of everything, I think it's just more interesting that way.
I agree.
And then in this movie, like, it takes Peter down this crazy ride that we've already seen him go down. It's like, yeah, he now has the black suit, so he's, like, more violent. Mm-hmm. But it's still, like, you learn this lesson, and for us, the audience, it's not interesting anymore.
No. And plus, when he's in his black suit, he's not intimidating. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, they don't represent him well. Like, he's walking down the street trying to be cool, and all the women look at him like he is just, like, the dude... doofiest looking guy. And
he's so doofy.
And you just... Is that the point? Is he supposed to look dumb and he doesn't know it? Or, like, you would think that, like... Well, it's interesting because he's walking down the street and all these women are like, man, this guy is a complete joke.
Yeah.
But then in the other scene, he's hitting on all these women and getting all these women. So I don't understand what the point was. Like... You know what I'm saying?
It was really unclear what was happening.
Yeah. It was like, are we supposed to think that, like, oh, now he's cool? Or are we supposed to think something like, oh, well, yeah, he's still lame-o. Like,
yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like the scene in Spider-Man 2 where he loses his powers and he's, like, having a grand old time, but he's, like, really dorky. But, like, the movie knows that that's the point of the scene. But in this one, it's like that, but nobody knows what's going on.
No, they're like, should we make him cool? Should
Especially
we make
when he
him
does
not?
A little clap and he's like, doing little, like, arm.
And then that guy that walks by is like, hey, Artie,
like, can you please just never.
Let's walk past this
guy. Yeah, he, like, grabs his girlfriend and, like, moves faster.
Yeah, he's like, get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Yeah, so there was just a lot of scenes that were just kind of like, why is this in here? Like, they had all the opportunity in the world. Like, there wasn't, like, a, oh, we've run out of ideas.
No.
It was just, like, they didn't know what to say.
They didn't know anything. Like, and then having three villains, even though one of them's only a part-time villain, and the other one only shows up, like, right at the end.
Everyone's a part-time villain. Sandman's hardly there.
Yeah.
Venom is just at the end.
At the very end of the film.
And
Spider-Man is his own villain.
Spider-Man
well,
is his
Harry,
own villain.
Harry is a villain. He's Green Goblin Part 2.
But then he's hardly there, too.
He's hardly there as well. It's really badly. Like
you knew it was coming, Pete.
He knew it was coming, Peter.
CGI me is coming at you hard.
It's okay. It's CGI Peter, too. It's really good. The production value on this seems worse somehow. I don't know if it just was like less. It's 3 years later. It looks really bad. The whole thing looks bad. It's shot so much, like, it's not shot poorly, but, like, it's shot so much less interestingly than, like, Spider-Man 2, which is beautifully shot.
Yeah.
And going from that to this, you're just like, what happened? Like, did you have a stroke? Like, what?
After a while, this is the problem with the movie. After a while, everything just looks the same.
Everything. Like, I forgot that. Okay, so when I was looking over the notes and you kept on saying things that happened later, like, oh, this is when Harry and Peter fight. And I'm like, yeah, but they already did that. And it's like, well, now they do it again. And this is where Harry and MJ are talking at his house. It's like, no, that's not the one where they make the omelet. It's the other one where they're together. And it's like, there's so many repeat scenes. There's so many scenes with, like, there's like two distinct scenes with Peter and Ursula where he's eating one of her baked goods. Like, it's the entire thing feels like it's on a time loop.
It's kind of like the High School Musical movies, but, like, 10 times more the same.
It's so the same. There's, like, Peter talking to Aunt May. There's, like, Peter talking to MJ. Like, everything feels cyclical. Like, there's no real. Like, the only thing that comes out of nowhere is the whole Gwen Stacy crane malfunction Spidey Day moment, which is so weird because it doesn't fit with the rest of the movie. Like, you could take Gwen out of this movie and nothing really would change.
No, it's the same movie. It's the same movie. With worse villains.
Yeah, and maybe less motivation for MJ to, like, get mad at Peter, but, like, she has enough. She has enough in her own head. Like, you didn't need that there.
Yeah, she's just going psycho.
So many villains. You could take Sandman out of the movie and pretty much make the same movie.
It's the same movie.
Besides Peter being like, ah, you killed my uncle. But, honestly, it's okay, I forgive you because it was an accident.
Honestly, if you ever watch those videos that are, like, maybe, like, 5 minutes long where they cut out all the characters, the main characters, and they just have every scene that's not the main characters, it's about the same amount of emotional connection as the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, you see all this stuff and you're like, I don't feel anything. Yeah. I felt brain dead. Like,
and by the end, the ending fight scene was so pointless. Like, I don't think I paid attention during any of it. Like, I was just angry the whole time.
I just wanted everybody to die.
Yeah. I wanted specifically MJ and Peter to die.
Yes, and I want Harry to live and then.
Oh, Harry. If Harry would have become a superhero by the end, I would have forgiven the movie.
Same. But they didn't.
It did not. Why did they kill Harry? Like, he's lived. And then they're like, nah, he's totally, like, he's screwed. Like, we're just gonna let him bleed out all over the ground.
Peter should have died for Harry, and that should have been the end of the movie.
Oh, I would have loved that.
I remember watching the end of the movie, and we all agreed that everything was great except for our main characters.
Yes! Yes. Everything was great besides the two people
that I actually
like. And they wanted, the movie wanted you so bad to like them, and you're just like,
no.
I can't.
Well, they just. Peter is just horrible throughout the movie. And it's like, you can kind of go, okay, yeah, he's got the black suit. But, like, even so, even after he takes it off, he's still crazy selfish. He doesn't check up on Harry or anything. I mean, he's just not that good of a character in general. And he never really was. Like, he's never the reason why you wanted to watch those movies in the first place. Because he just stares at walls and has this abusive relationship with this girl who, like, it's just toxic for him.
You're supposed to love them.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, the only thing that I've ever liked, like, with Peter in it from those movies is, like, when he loses his powers and he's all happy. And he's just, like, a lovable dork. Because he plays lovable dork so well.
So well. And then Mary Jane comes tromping right back into his life. Kiss me, please.
Kiss me. Love me.
It's like, no.
Oh, there's a line in this movie where they're up on the, in the spider web, and she says, tell me you love me. And I was just like, I hate you. I can't with you.
They have every signs of a toxic relationship throughout the movie. And you're supposed to go, oh, this is romantic. I'm like, no, this is horrible.
Oh, and then she says, tell me again, was I really good? The applause wasn't so loud.
Oh.
That's an actual quote from the film.
And it was just the acoustics.
Yeah, and he's like, it's just the acoustics. And she's like, you are such a nerd. And I'm just like, just dump her.
Just leave.
Nothing is keeping him there.
You have a girl who's gonna make you cookies every single day. Like, yeah. Why would you not go for that?
She makes great pie. She makes great cookies. She's adorable and klutzy, and she loves you.
Yeah, she really does. And then you get no resolve from. You don't see her again.
Yeah.
They don't give
totally
her.
Write her out of the movie.
It was like, horrible.
I completely ship them forever.
I know.
And they are so cute.
Pay me rent.
Didn't we all agree that, like, what we needed was a sitcom with Harry and Bertrand and then Peter and Ursula, and that was it?
That was it.
That would have been a better movie. Okay, let's wrap this up. We need to figure out how we fix this movie. How restrictive do we want to be? Because we could be like, just don't have Sandman in it and focus on the other characters. Like, I don't know, do we want to try to fix the movie while keeping everything intact to a certain extent? Or because I feel like the perfect movie is MJ dies.
Yes.
And he goes away with Ursula, and Harry is his best friend and becomes amazing, and they don't have Sandman in it, like, at all. Like, it's just about Harry's redemption arc and Eddie Brock becoming Venom. Like, and then MJ
Eddie,
dying.
Eddie,
but, like...
Okay, I got it. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. So, Mary Jane just dies.
At the beginning. Oh, well, okay. What about, instead of killing off MJ, let's have her...
MJ just leaves.
Yeah, she goes away with what, J. Jonah's son.
Yeah.
What's his bucket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot guy.
He's a werewolf.
Werewolf hot guy. Yeah, that guy. So, she goes off because she's like, Peter, you don't do enough for me. So, Peter has to be redeemed, right?
Yes.
Because he's losing his powers, right?
Yes.
And his powers is only driven on the sense of being loved.
Whoa!
So, that's when the cookie girl, what's her name?
Yeah. Ursula.
Ursula, that just sounds like the villain from Little Mermaid.
You mean because it is the same name as the villain? It doesn't sound like her.
Sounds like it. It isn't. Anyway, they fall in love because she's like, I love this man. And Peter's like, oh, you only love me because my superpowers. And she's like, no, I love you from the start. Here's a cookie, right?
Wait, how does she figure out he's Spider-Man?
Because she's smart.
This is all within the first 15 minutes.
Because she accidentally walks in the room,
oh,
right?
Oh, well, he's getting ready.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And he goes, oh, wow, a suit. And then she puts two and two together.
Oh.
Yeah. And so then Harry falls in love.
Maybe it's like when he's losing his powers, right? And he like, he gets really hurt, but like, he's like, you know, he falls off a building or something, right?
Yeah.
And then she finds him outside of the apartment and takes him in to take care of him and then figures out that it's Peter.
Oh, my back. And so Harry and Gwen fall in love for whatever reason. Doesn't need to be great.
Yeah, Eddie's stalking.
Yes.
Right? So we still have the scene where Harry goes after Peter and loses his memory.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then Harry goes and sees Peter, because Peter's actually like a good friend in this universe. And he goes and sees Peter at university and then meets Gwen, because Gwen's his classmate and his lab partner. And because that's how she is in the movie. And then he immediately is like, oh, hey, you know, and they hit it off really well.
Yeah.
And, but Eddie, because he's a stalker, sees it and he's like, I thought we were dating. And she's like, I never said we were dating. So he becomes obsessed with getting revenge on Harry, not on Peter.
Ah. And he goes and finds religion.
Yeah, he goes and finds religion. Would he even have the black suit arc in this, or would you just give it, like, straight to, Eddie?
Because,
I mean, you need Peter to wear it, because that's where Venom gets the idea that becomes spider-like, is because it takes on...
Yes, you give it to him, right? And then Peter actually has a small moment of being bad.
What happens is, because, so, right, Peter lost his powers.
Yes.
And he's being okay, like, it's tied to, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he finds the suit, and the suit gives him his powers back.
Yes.
So he has to wear it, even though he knows he's going down a dark path.
Mm, right, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, and so, anyway, Ursula comes in there and, you know, has to deal with, like, this whole situation, but she does, because she's amazing, and make sure that Peter, you know... Figures out that he can still be Spider-Man, even though he's resentful. He's like, I can't give the suit. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she's like, but you're being a horrible guy, and I miss the old you. And they just, you know, they just start to fall in love, and which should have happened. Mary Jane should have gone.
I don't know what you're going to get into this game. You're like, I just...
Because she's a sweet girl, and she's unassuming, but she's, like, cool because she bakes, and what... what kind of girl would you not want to bake? You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
She's just a nice person. She doesn't think about herself all the time.
That's right. Anyway, so they have to fight Eddie Brock because Eddie Brock's just jealous of the world. And so it's actually cool because this Eddie Brock is actually good at being Venom. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not... Anyway, and so...
And Peter has to convince Harry to put on, like, the Green Goblin costume, even though he really doesn't want to.
Yes.
Because that would be really fun. Because they're like, you can be good when you're wearing this, instead of, like, playing...
Quit taking your illegal substances.
That's not good.
What?
Yes. Quit taking your illegal substances.
And then...
That's the tagline for the movie. Quit taking your illegal substances.
That's really good.
And anyway, they fight Eddie in this huge brawl. The suit becomes sentient and just comes after them.
Yep.
And... But they do this really cool move where Peter makes a huge giant web and it's full of the bombs and he slings it back and it goes, whoa!
It's very creative.
Right at the huge thing because it's giant. It's like, yeah! You know, the worst sound ever in the movie. And
I don't remember.
You don't remember that? No. It becomes like its own thing. It's like...
Oh,
oh yeah, whenever it's not as a host, it's screaming.
Yeah, it's and Peter's like, and so they throw the pumpkin bombs at it and it explodes. Harry doesn't die because why would Harry die?
Harry doesn't die because why would Harry die?
That was just some whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
No.
That was bad. And he dies in the worst way. Yep. Negligence. Dies by negligence. And so there you have it.
Yep. That's, I like it. That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
I would definitely, though, like, I think what I would do is I would add in MJ and have her have the arc up until the point where she breaks it up with Peter and then have a moment where she tries to get back with him and he tells her no. Like, like when she's away, that's when him and Ursula really connect on, like, a spiritual level.
Yeah.
And then he, when she comes back into his life, he's just like, I just can't with you. Yeah.
Because you never appreciated
me. You never saw me.
Have a Ben in Descendants 2 moment.
Oh my gosh, Ben. No, we can't talk about that.
Sorry.
Breaking the continuity already.
I'm breaking the continuity. Anyway, but we'll give Mary Jane a redeeming part. Since she's with the fancy hierarchy of New York, you know what I mean? She gets to finally be on Broadway. We don't know how. But you know what I'm saying? Like, since she's with, like I guess, like...
No, just make her be a singer waitress. And she's gonna work her way up.
Okay.
Over time.
That's fine.
That's her life, and that's her career. And that's where she's gonna be happy. Like, she's gonna work it out, and it will be good.
Yeah.
She'll figure it out, because she can't just bully Peter all the time anymore.
True.
And it'll be really good.
True.
Also, I think what would be really cool, too, is if you have... When Eddie becomes Venom, he immediately goes after Harry. And something that he does triggers Harry's memories of his dad and of being the Green Goblin and stuff like that.
Avenge me!
Yeah, that would be awesome. I love that scene.
That joke was funny.
I love that scene, so dude.
No!
No!
There was a knife. He's like, ooh, a lair.
Yeah. But then have him, like, not actually, like, go evil. Have him be, like, fighting it the whole time. And then it's, like, Peter who's, like, trying to convince him to, like, come fight on the side of good to go after Venom. But he doesn't want to.
He sneezes. Nice. Really? I like that.
Yeah.
That's a perfect movie.
That's a perfect movie. We did it. Perfect movie. Stand aside, Citizen Kane. We made Spider-Man 3. Stop taking your illegal substances.
That's really good.
Break.